Chapter 7. I need to bake an extra batch of eclairs today. Do you think we can fit it in? Lexi asked Cassie, who was bent over the stove retrieving a baking sheet full of peanut butter cookies. Sure, we can do those next. Cassie squatted down and opened one of the bottom cabinets, her blonde spiked hair sticking up from behind the door. And you can tell me what's going on with the Regis Bank stuff. Lexi's stomach clenched. Why? Did you hear something? No. Cassie retrieved a large stainless steel bowl and put it on the marble-topped island in the center of the room. I was just wondering how it was going. Oh, I was afraid Norman had written that article. He hasn't. I asked my cousin down at the paper, and she said he told her he was working on something secret, but still had to chase down some facts. Cassie grabbed milk, eggs, and unsalted butter from the fridge. Lexi brought over the sugar, cornstarch, and a vanilla bean. She split the bean down the length. The scent of vanilla perfumed the air. She carefully scraped the seeds out of the bean pod while she filled Cassie in on her talks with Olivia and Lawrence. So, you think Winston did it? Cassie held out the saucepan full of milk, and Lexi scraped the seeds in. He was sitting next to Regis. He could have easily switched the ice cream bowls. Lexi separated the yolks from the eggs into a bowl and added sugar, double-checking to make sure it was sugar and not salt, and started beating. You really think he would kill his own father? Cassie shuddered as she stirred the milk mixture. Lexi shrugged. People do drastic things when they need money. True that. Cassie removed the pan from the stove, just as the bells chimed out in the store part of the bakery. Is it my turn? Lexi asked. When the shop wasn't busy, the girls spent their time in the kitchen, each taking turns when a customer came in. Yep. Lexi wiped her hands on a kitchen towel and straightened her pink cupcake pattern apron before heading toward the opening that led to the front of the store. George Finley stood in front of the glass pastry case, bent over slightly, looking in at the muffins. He looked up as Lexi approached the case, a smile on his lips.
Hey, Lexi.
Hi, George. What can I get for you today?
Well, I'm trying to make up my mind.
His blue eyes sparkled beneath white, bushy brows. George was a regular, coming in once a week for a supply of baked goods.
Everything looks so good.
Thanks. Lexi beamed at the compliment, standing patiently behind the case, while George looked over the assortment of muffins, cookies, bars, cakes, and scones. The smell of coffee from the self-serve station in the corner wafted over, and Lexi felt a pang in her stomach. She could sure use a cup. Let me know when you've decided. Lexi grabbed a clean dish towel and headed over to the coffee station, wiping it clean and then pouring a steaming mug for herself. Turning around, she surveyed the cafe tables she had set up next to the window for customers who wanted to linger over coffee and pastry. They were spotless, but she wiped them down anyway, mostly out of habit. Lexi felt a swell of pride as she glanced out of the floor-to-ceiling storefront window at the view of the waterfall across the street. The view was one of the things that had sold her on this space in the old mill building. It had taken years of hard work to get this far. She couldn't let that one incident with Regis Banks ruin everything. A blur of beige went by, and something niggled Lexi's memory. Was that the car that she'd seen behind her on the way to the agility class?
I heard about Regis Banks,
George said as if reading her mind. Lexi's stomach sank. She turned to look at him, forgetting about the beige car. If word had gotten out already, people might avoid the bakery. Yeah, that was awful, she said.
Awful? I think it was about time.
Excuse me? Lexi's brows knit together. She walked back toward the case, staring at George.
Oh, I know, it sounds mean. But I'm glad the old goat is dead.
Really? You didn't like him?
Not too many did.
Why? George frowned.
He might have been a good businessman, but he was a terrible person. Do you know how he came by all the land that made him rich?
Lexi shook her head. Not really. I just assumed he bought it.
Bought it? He stole it. Ripped it right out from under poor, unsuspecting folks. Hard-working folks, like you and me.
Stole it? But how could he...
I don't mean he did anything illegal. No, he was too smart for that. He skirted right along the edge of the law, preyed on families in distress, and worked them until they sold the land at dirt cheap prices.
George pressed his lips together and shook his head.
Used some sneaky, underhanded tricks, too.
I never heard that.
Well, most people don't like to talk about it. The families it happened to were probably embarrassed. But if you ask me, there are a lot of people who wanted him dead, even if he was already old. Some would have loved the satisfaction of doing him in themselves.
George shrugged, then tapped on the glass front of the case.
I'll take a half dozen of those raspberry scones.
Lexi boxed up the scones, her mind whirling as she cast George out and bid him goodbye. She hadn't considered that Regis might have an enemy that would want him dead. But again, who would go to the trouble of killing a 100-year-old man? Her phone chirped, and she pulled it out of her pocket. Nan's. Hi, Lexi. Can you put together a box of assorted pastries for tomorrow morning? Sure. Why? Ruth discovered that Winston Banks serves on the same charity board with Stanley McKitterick. We know Stan. In fact, he's kind of sweet on Helen. I made a discovery of my own today, Lexi said. She searched the pastry case, deciding what to put in the box. Oh, really? Yep. George Finley was in, and he told me that Regis was a little sketchy in his business dealings. I'd heard he was a tough businessman. Well, according to George, he screwed people over. He seems to think there would be plenty of people who would have liked to have seen Regis dead. Revenge. I didn't think of that, Nan said. Lexi could hear the squeak of marker on whiteboard through the phone. I'll write that down. But it would have had to be someone at the party, and I doubt anyone who had a grudge against Regis would have been invited. Besides, how would they have gotten close enough to switch the ice cream? Good point. Lexi felt disappointed. I guess the Winston angle is the best we have so far. Right. We're meeting with Stan at 11 tomorrow. Do you want to come with us? Of course, Lexi wanted to go with Nans and the ladies to meet with Stan. So she picked them up at 10:30 and drove to the ritzy neighborhood where Stan lived. His expansive Cape Cod house was situated on a large, well-landscaped lot. Stan didn't have as much money as Winston Banks, but he seemed to be fairly well off. They walked to the door, and Nans pushed Helen to the front, then rang the bell. The door opened.
Helen.
A man of about 80 answered the door, his tanned face breaking into a wide smile at Helen. His sharp brown eyes looked over her shoulder at the rest of us, lighting with recognition when they fell on Nans, Ruth, and Ida.
Ladies, how nice to see you.
It's always a pleasure, Stanley. Nans grabbed the box of pastries from Lexi and held them up. My granddaughter, Lexi, brought some pastries from her bakery.
All right. You own the cup and cake, don't you?
Yes, that's right.
Nice to meet you. Stan pushed the door wide. Please come in and join me. I was just about to have a cup of tea.
They followed Stan down an oak-paneled hallway to the wide country kitchen. A red brick fireplace dominated one wall, birch cabinets on the rest.
Have a seat.
Stan gestured toward a solid maple table and chair set as he got busy transferring the pastries from the box to a large crystal platter. Lexi and the ladies arranged themselves at the table, forcing Helen into the seat to the right of the chair at the head of the table, which they left empty for Stan.
Tea?
Stan turned with a steaming teapot in his hand. They all murmured yes, and a few minutes later, each of them had their teacups full and pastries on small etched crystal plates in front of them.
So, to what do I owe this pleasure?
Stan plucked a sugar cube out of a bowl with silver tongs and dropped it into his tea.
Well, it's kind of a delicate matter.
Helen leaned into Stan and smiled up at him from beneath her lashes. Lexi noticed Stan got all googly-eyed. The man was positively smitten with Helen.
Go on, he sighed. Well, you see,
Helen cleared her throat.
I have some questions about Winston Banks.
Banks? Oh, yes, I know the fellow.
Stan gazed into Helen's eyes. Lexi wondered if he even knew what he was saying. Lexi, Nans, Ruth, and Ida sipped their tea and nibbled their pastries in silence. No one wanted to say a word, for fear they would break the spell Helen seemed to have cast over Stan.
I'm writing a piece for the paper about old money and how it affects the second generation,
Helen said, casting a nervous glance at the others. Nan's left eyebrow ticked up, but she didn't say a word.
Oh, you still write for the paper?
Stanley asked. Sometimes.
Helen sipped her tea.
Anyway, you know how money can corrupt. I was just wondering if Winston was corrupted by the bank's millions.
Stan scrunched up his face, chewing on his bottom lip like he knew something and was deciding whether or not to tell. Helen leaned in even closer, smiling even wider. Lexi wondered if she would actually go so far as to bat her eyelashes.
Well, I suppose this isn't a big secret, so I don't think I'm talking out of school. Winston was a pretty good guy, but he did have one weakness.
Oh?
Gambling. He was into poker big time. Too bad he wasn't a very good player. Heck, I even cleaned him out a few times, and I'm only a fair player. But with his money...
Stan shrugged. Oh, so did he play often, or was it just in friendly weekly games? Helen asked.
At first, he just played a casual weekly game. But then, I heard he got in deep. Started going to some high-stakes games in the city. I guess there's a whole underground poker network that plays in the back rooms of seedy bars.
Stan shook his head.
That's a real nasty crowd. A man could get in big trouble if he lost a lot of money. But with Winston's money, he had a lot to play with.
Yes, he did have a lot, Helen agreed. Nans exchanged looks with Lexi. Did he have a lot of money? Rumor had it, Regis kept them on a tight budget, but he must have made a good salary.
So anyway, Helen, how have you been?
Stan slid his hand on top of hers.
It's been a long time.
Yes, too long, and it's been lovely to see you again. Helen slid her hand out from under Stan's. But we really must be going.
So soon?
Yes, I'm afraid Ida has an appointment at the podiatrist at noon, and she really can't miss it. Helen leaned closer to Stan and whispered loudly. Her toenails are like horse hoofs.
Nans, Ruth, and Lexi stifled giggles, while Ida shot daggers at Helen. They pushed up from their chairs, murmured their thanks, and had a round of goodbyes at the door before escaping to the car.
That explains it. Winston really did have an urgent need for the money.
Nans half turned in her seat to look at Ruth, Ida, and Helen.
Some of those gamblers are bad news. If he owed a lot of money, they could have threatened him with all kinds of nasty things, Ida said.
And I'm sure he couldn't go to his father for money, Lexi added. Ruth snorted.
No way. Regis wouldn't approve of gambling.
But if Regis died, Helen said, then Winston might inherit enough to pay off the gambling debt.
We think he would.
Ida leaned forward, sticking her head into the front seat.
We won't know for sure until Ruth talks to Shirley about the will.
I don't know about you girls, but this puts Winston at the top of the suspect list for me.
Nan's blue eyes twinkled with excitement.
If we can find out how much he owed, we might be able to prove that he had a motive, and maybe the police would open it as a homicide and clear Lexi of any wrongdoing.
And just how do you propose we do that? Lexi slid a sideways glance at her grandmother, picturing the four ladies crashing high-stakes poker games, disguised in matching tan trench coats.
Oh, I'm not exactly sure right now, but I'll think of something,
Nan said. That's exactly what I'm afraid of, Lexi replied.